Welcome to another edition of the Romance Program. I'm volunteer Jeannie Ost for Sun Sounds. I've got one story coming up this hour from True Confessions magazine called Still Going Strong. Here's the story. As I walked along beside Harry, I looked out over the blue waters of the lake. The foamy waves were washing gently against the shore. I could see white sails against the blue of the water and sky, and further out, a freighter was making its way up the lake. It was such a beautiful day. I breathed in the refreshing smell of the water. Warm summer sunshine made the water sparkle as though someone had sprinkled diamonds on it. A soft breeze blowing in off the water caressed my face. The day felt almost magical, almost. I was excited about spending a couple of days at the harbor. I wasn't sure if Harry felt the same way. He'd said so little since our arrival that morning, and it was really hard to tell. As we walked, I couldn't help but notice other couples strolling along the water's edge, hand in hand. As they talked, they were smiling and laughing. Their faces looked relaxed and happy. I looked up at Harry, feeling miles away from him. Why doesn't he pull my hand into his? Why doesn't he slide his arm around my shoulders? Why doesn't he talk to me, share his thoughts with me about this lovely little town we're visiting? How long has it been since he's given me that special sweet smile that once came so easily to his lips? How long has it been since his eyes lit up with love when he looks at me? It seemed as though it had been forever since I began feeling that distance between us. But I supposed it had actually been a few months. Harry, who had always hurried home from work, was now taking his time coming home. Harry, who never drank anything stronger than coffee, was now stopping off at a bar after work, playing pool or cards with some of the other carpenters he worked with. He didn't seem to care that I was home alone, fretting over a dinner that was getting cold. When he did come straight home from work, he was moody, aloof, and hardly said two words to me during supper. After supper, he would hurry off to the den to read the newspaper or watch TV. When I asked him what was wrong, he would shrug and shake his head. I never got a straight answer from him. I couldn't remember the last time he looked into my eyes and asked for my opinion on anything. Of course, I understood that he was concerned about his work. People are thinking long and hard before committing themselves to building new homes. Harry and the crew he worked with were doing more remodeling jobs these days, and even the people who were having that done were settling for less. Money was tight. Everyone's being cautious about their spending. I couldn't believe that that was the reason, though, for Harry being so distant. We've been through hard times before, and those times have brought us closer, not driven a wedge between us. Now we seldom went anyplace together. We seldom sat down together in the evenings and talked. If I tried to get a conversation going, it seemed that we only ended up in an argument. I couldn't remember the last time we'd laughed together. How much longer can we go on like that, I wondered, before the damage to our marriage is inseparable, before we can't find our way back to each other. That was why I'd suggested to Harry that we take this trip, this mini vacation, even though I knew we shouldn't spend the money. Maybe we couldn't afford to not take it, I told myself. We needed some time to ourselves to recapture the closeness we'd once shared. I didn't want to wake up some morning and realized that we no longer had a marriage to worry about. "That looks like a nice restaurant across the street," Harry was saying. "Do you want to have supper?" Tilting my head, I smiled up at him. "I'm not really very hungry. I think I'd rather go back to our room," I said, suggestively. He scowled, and then he grumbled, "We didn't come all this way to sit in our room and watch TV. You wanted to come and spend some time by the water, and here we are. Let's enjoy it." I could only stare at him in disbelief. The tone of my voice should have told him exactly what I was suggesting. It should have told him that it wasn't the TV that I wanted to give my attention to. I brushed at the tears that were threatening. "It's just like at home, isn't it? We can't agree on anything." "And whose fault is that?" he snapped. "You're the one who's so hard to live with these days." "Me? Oh, right," I shot back. "That, coming from Mr. Don't Bother Me, is ridiculous." His scowl deepened. "Well, you don't seem to get the message, do you?" I felt as though he had just stabbed me in the heart. What a cruel thing to say. What does that mean? You don't want to have anything to do with me? I can't. I broke off, swallowing hard, biting back tears, as I tried to ignore the curious looks we were getting from people who were walking by. I thought about us getting away for a couple of days that would do us good, but I guess I was hoping for too much. "I'm sorry I bothered." "And I am so sorry I'm such a big disappointment to you," I went on. "I'm sorry I'm wasting your time." Tears were streaming down my face. I backed away from him. "And don't worry, I won't drag you back to the quilt shop. I wouldn't dream of boring you any further." He threw up his hands. "You just never let up, do you? Well, I give up." I glared at him. What does he have to be so mad about? So upset and angry that I was almost seeing red. I turned and walked away from him. I did glance back once, thinking that Harry might be right behind me, hurrying to catch up with me, but he was nowhere in sight. He'd probably gone into the restaurant across the street for supper. Well, fine, who cares? Let him have some time to himself. Maybe I needed some time alone, too. But as I walked, the tears streamed faster down my face. More time alone was the last thing I needed. Alone was exactly what I had been for months. Even when Harry was home, when he sat across the table from me or lay next to me in bed, I was alone. Why, I kept asking myself, why is this happening to us? What exactly did Harry mean just now when he said that I didn't get the message about his wanting to be left alone? What a horrible thing to say. Is he going through some kind of midlife crisis? But we both just turned 50. Isn't that a little late in life to be having a midlife crisis? Fear welled up inside me. It was becoming a familiar fear, one that gnawed at me, clung to me. It was the fear that Harry had met someone else, the fear that he was falling in love with her and out of love with me. I wandered aimlessly for a while, up one street and down another, looking in shop windows, not really seeking what was displayed behind the glass. I found myself in front of the quilt shop that I'd spotted when we drove into town that morning. There were groupings of beautiful fabrics in the window, and I could hardly pull my eyes away from it all. And it was good fabric. I'd been quilting for only a few years, but I learned to recognize quality fabric when I saw it. Of course, the good stuff is more expensive, but when I'd gotten the quilting bug, I promised myself that if I were going to put the time and work into my new passion, I was going to have the best fabric that I could afford. I had started quilting 4 years ago after my daughter Tiffany had left home to get married. By the time our son, Tony, had left for college last fall, quilting had indeed become a passion. Every spare minute that I could find was spent in my sewing room. I loved cutting into the beautiful fabrics, then sewing the pieces together to create a warm, special quilt that someone would enjoy and hopefully treasure for many years to come. Staring at all the glorious fabrics in the window, one particular collection especially caught my eye. Feeling my spirits lifting a little, I pulled my cell phone from my purse and punched in our daughter's number. "Hey, Mom, I thought you and Dad were going away for a couple of days," she said when she answered. "We have, and I'm standing in front of this sweet little quilt shop looking at this awesome display of fabrics, and one collection of fabric is just jumping out at me. I think it would be perfect for quilts for the twins' room. It's blue and yellow and has sailboats on it, and..." "Mom, you don't have to do that," Tiffany interrupted. "You've made so many quilts for the boys and for Mike and me." "Enough already. I can't afford to pay you for them, and I know how expensive fabric is." "And pay me? Why would you even say that?" I asked, feeling more than a little offended. "I'm your mother. It's a joy for me to be able to do this for you and your family." "I know that, but Mom..." "No, don't but Mom me. I'm going to go in and at least check out this fabric. It's speaking to me, dear. And I don't think I can go home without it." I heard my daughter sigh, and I knew she didn't understand. She thought I was being obsessive over this new hobby, and maybe I was. But just wait until her kids grow up and leave home, I thought. Then we'll see how empty her house feels, and we'll see that she does what she does with all the extra hours she has on her hands. Of course, Tiffany is so many years away from that time that she can't begin to comprehend those feelings. But the years went by so quickly, it seemed, like only yesterday, that Tony was learning how to read, how to ride a bike, and running through the sprinkler in the backyard. That Tiffany had taken her first steps, started piano lessons, and had her first crush on a boy. And now, before I could even catch my breath, it seemed they were both grown up and gone from home. I was so proud of both of them that I sometimes felt as though my heart couldn't contain it. They're both strong, caring, compassionate people. But the house felt so empty without their laughter, their arguments, and their presence. People kept reminding me of how happy I should be that our grocery bills were lower and how much less laundry I was doing these days. But I would gladly welcome back those chores and the extra work if I could go back to that time again. Of course, life doesn't work that way, and so I tried to keep busy. I worked part-time at a local flower shop. I had my name in for full-time work, but with the economy the way it was in our state, a full-time position wasn't looking very promising. Perhaps when things picked up, it would happen. The extra money would certainly be welcome. There are a lot of things that I wanted to do around the house. I love our old house, but old houses, it seems, are always in need of repair. And beyond that, there were things about the house that I wanted to change. It was a wonderful house, built back in the early 1900s. It had beautiful leaded glass windows and the original hardwood wood floors, French doors, and an open stairway. Harry and I had done a lot of restoration work and updating since we bought the house more than 20 years ago, still there were a few more things that I wanted to do. One of the bathrooms needed to be redone. The kitchen needed new cupboards. The basement needed some work. At the top of my list, though, was redoing my sewing room. I was getting more and more into quilting, and the room was so small that I didn't have nearly enough storage space. And with my sewing machine, cabinet, cutting table, and my fabric pieces spread out around me, I could barely move. My dream was to knock down the wall between my sewing room, which had once been the spare bedroom, and Tony's room, giving me hugely adequate space. I envisioned cabinets around at least three walls to give me the storage space I needed. Perhaps some recessed lighting for the times I sewed at night or on a dark, rainy days. A built-in ironing board for pressing, comfy rocking chairs to curl up when I did hand quilting. I wish you could have been here for the estate sale at the Coleman House, Tiffany was saying. I think the whole town turned out just to go through the house. The Coleman House was another old house in our town, even older and larger than ours. The Colemans, well into their 90s, had recently passed away within months of each other. They were well-to-do people, and they took wonderful care of their home. I couldn't remember ever driving past it without wishing that I could see the inside, as it seemed had many others in town. You would have gone wild over the antiques in the house, Mom. I'm talking absolutely gorgeous and in perfect condition. Oh, how I love antiques. I seldom bought them, of course, because they're usually so expensive. But I love to look at them and imagine their history, to think about who had loved and cared for them. And again, I would think, someday when my ship comes in. By the way, I happened to see some people you went to school with when I was at the sale, Tiffany said, then rattled off the names of few people that Harry and I had graduated with. I told them where you and Dad are this weekend, and they told me that several of your classmates are now living in the same neighborhood. They're retiring early, I guess, and moving up by the water. Oh, I said, I didn't know that. And I could see the appeal. I love to come and spend a day by the water and love the calming effect it usually had on me. But I couldn't imagine leaving my century-old house behind. Perhaps I'd consider the move if I could move the house along with me. Why don't you and Dad look up some of these people while you're there? Tracy suggested, although you might want to leave Dad behind if you look one man up. And who might you be talking about? I asked. Oh, your old flame, Sal. They said he's divorced and as handsome as ever, she teased. Seriously, you and Dad should try to connect with your old classmates. I'm sure they'd love to see you. Maybe, I said, but I knew we wouldn't. I was hardly in the mood to be looking up old friends. Although for all the attention I had been getting from Harry lately, I could probably run away with my old beau. Sal and Harry wouldn't even notice that I was gone. I hope you're having a good time, Mom. Having a good time, I thought, drawing in a deep breath and blowing it out. I wonder how that can be possible with Harry on one side of town and me on the other. He obviously didn't care one tiny bit if I was having a good time or not. He was off by himself as usual. He probably hadn't given me a thought since I walked away from him. I shook my head, wondering what had happened to that boy who had swept me off my feet our senior year of high school with flowers, beautiful letters, and sweet smiles, who sat through scary movies with me, even though he hated them, because he knew I loved them, who took me for a long romantic walks along the beach and snuggled with me on cold winter days as we dreamed of the house we would one day share and the children we would welcome into our lives. We'd shared something so beautiful, so special, so precious, but we lost it somewhere along the way. "I'll see you when we get home," I said to my daughter. "I love you. Kiss the boys for me." "I will. I love you too. And Mom," she added, "don't go into that quilt shop." "Yeah, right," I thought, chuckling. "That was like telling me not to breathe." Dropping my cell phone back into my purse, I turned to open the door of Laura's quilt shop. Only then did I notice the sign on the door that read closed. I looked at my watch. It was after 7. Of course the shop was closed. Closing my eyes, I shook my head. "Is anything going to go right for me today? Well, the best I can do," I decided, "is to come back the next day." But that wasn't going to work. I realized the next day was Sunday. The shop certainly wouldn't be open, and we were heading for home very early on Monday morning before the shop would be open for business. With another deep sigh, I looked longingly at the fabrics displayed in the window, thinking, "Oh, well, nice try." I turned and walked away from the shop. I had only taken a few steps, though, when I heard a door open and a voice call out, "Oh, no, you don't. You come right on in." Turning, I saw an elderly, white-haired lady standing just outside the quilt shop door. Her eyes were fastened on me, and she was smiling as she motioned for me to come back. "Oh, I couldn't do that," I said. "You're closed. I'm sure you've had a long day and want to get home." "Well, that's all very true, but I still have some work to do here before I can leave. So why don't you come on in? I'd enjoy the company." "Are you sure?" I asked. She smiled. "I'm sure." Returning her smile, I retraced my steps. As I followed her inside, my eyes moved around the small shop and the sights took my breath away. Finished quilts hung high on the walls. Below them, beautiful fabrics, pattern books, and every kind of quilting tool imaginable were displayed. About halfway back were sewing machines and long arm quilting machines. In the very back, tables were set up where classes were obviously taught. I was in heaven. "I know that hungry look," the lady was saying as she straightened bolts of fabric near the cutting table. "Some of my best customers wear it. I'm Laura, by the way. Look around to your heart's content. I'll be here for a while." "What a wonderful shop," I told her. "I could spend days browsing. And if you hadn't come in, you would have been awake half the night wondering what you missed." I laughed. "You're right about that. Quilting is a passion for me. I've never seen a piece of fabric I didn't like. My friends call me a fabricolic. "Been at it long?" she asked as she put a cup of tea in my hands. "Oh my, thank you. How kind of you." I took a sip of the hot tea. "Actually, I've been quilting just a few years. What types of quilts do you enjoy making?" "All kinds. Quilts for my kids and grandkids especially. And I guess I like quilts that have an old-fashioned look to them." We live in a century-old house, and I love making quilts that look as though they might have been made in that era. As I wandered through the shop, we talked about fabrics and different patterns that we had both tried, which ones we loved and used again and again, which ones had turned out to be not so great. I found myself telling her about our house and the dreams I had of finishing the work that needed to be done. I told her how I was filling the house with quilts and how I hoped someday to fill it with antiques. I knew exactly what pieces I wanted and exactly how they would look in the house. I paused once to catch my breath, only to hear her chuckling. "My, you do have some big dreams." "Oh, I sure do," I agreed, laughing along with her as I picked up another bolt of fabric that I was envisioning in a quilt for Tony's dorm room. "I live in an old house, too," Laura was saying, "and I've acquired several antique pieces over the years. It takes time, doesn't it? Good antique pieces can cost so much, as can caring for an old house. Sometimes it's just one thing after another that needs repairs. I consider myself lucky when it's just a minor repair." "Tell me," I agreed. "It gets hard sometimes just to keep up. Everything is so expensive these days." And I stopped in mid-sentence, struck by her words and my response. I was also remembering something that Harry had thrown at me earlier when we had been arguing on the street. "You just never let up," he'd said. I hadn't had a clue at that time what he was talking about. Now I began to wonder. I was also remembering my daughter's words minutes ago. She had strongly suggested that I not go into the quilt shop. She had also suggested that I do not make any more quilts for her family. Her words had hurt my feelings a little at that moment. A feeling of not being appreciated had swept over me. But now, when I put her words along with her father's, I drew in a deep breath. For the past few minutes, I had been rambling on to this perfect stranger about all the things I wanted for the house. Even with Harry doing the work, everything I mentioned cost tons of money, and the antique pieces I'd mentioned were so very expensive. All the things I'd mentioned were, of course, part of a dream that might perhaps someday come true. Someday the dreaming I indulged in was half the fun of actually having those things. Who didn't like to dream and fantasize about things that might someday come their way? Now I had to wonder if Harry understood about my dreams being just dreams. When he heard me rambling on about the things I was dreaming about, did he think I was dissatisfied with my life the way it is? Did my constant rattling on about the material things I wanted overwhelm and frustrate him when he was so concerned about the slowdown in his work? Did I make him feel that I was unhappy with our life together, with what we had, with what he worked so hard to provide for us? Oh my, it explains so much, his moodiness, his silence, his not wanting to be at home with me. He was hurting because he was feeling that I wasn't proud of him, that I didn't love him enough, and my heart was breaking at the thought that I had made him feel less than the man he wanted to be for me. Blinking back tears that were threatening to spill down my face, I quickly put back the armload of fabric that I'd collected in my browsing through the shop. "I can't do this," I muttered to myself. "I just can't spend the money right now." "Are you okay?" I heard Laura asking. I turned toward her, and smiling, I reached out to take her hand in mine. Yes, finally. Thank you, Laura, for opening your door to me. I can't begin to tell you how much it meant to me to visit your shop and to meet you. Thank you. Nodding, she squeezed my hand. You're very welcome. I hope I see you again sometime. You know, she said, why don't you satisfy your love for quilting by working in a shop like this? In fact, if you ever want a job, come see me. I think you'd be a wonderful asset to this place. I could use you full time, and I'd give you a good discount on any of the fabric you wanted. Think about it. I could only stare at her. To work there in that wonderful shop, I had goosebumps just thinking about how much I would enjoy that. And full time and discounts and the chance to work with this sweet lady, oh my, what a blessing that would be. Of course, I lived 40 minutes away. I would have to figure the cost of gas against what my weekly pay would be. I knew I would probably pay this nice lady for the chance to work with her in her wonderful shop, but how practical was that? But I would think about the cost of gas and whatever other problems there might be later. Right then, I had more important things on my mind. I needed to get back to the motel and talk to Harry. Impulsively, I gave Laura a hug, and then I hurried out the door. Glancing at my watch, I was shocked to realize that I had been in the quilt shop well over an hour. I hurried, nearly running through the darkening streets, needing so much to be back at the motel with Harry. I had so much explaining to do, so much making up to do. I'd been so foolish. If Harry had been pulling away from me, if the closeness we had always shared seemed threatened, it was all my fault. How selfish I must seem to him. How could he feel loving toward me when I seemed to not be satisfied with our life together, when it seemed that I was hung up on material things, when we struggled some months, like everyone else we knew, to stay ahead of the rising costs of gas, utility bills, and grocery prices? How must he feel to hear me talking on and on about all the things I wanted? For me, it was a same-day thing, but Harry had surely taken it seriously, as though I wanted and was whining about not having those things now. That wasn't how I meant it at all, but how could he know that? And I was certainly guilty of overspending on fabrics. The fabric shops in our area knew me well. I knew exactly when new fabrics were due to arrive. I knew when the sales were coming up. I often stopped at one or more of the shops on my way home from work, even if I had to detour a little to get there. The shop's owners often teased me about their shops being my second home. They teased me about quilting being an obsession for me. And I guess it was. Coming home to an empty house, having long hours ahead of me before Harry got home, I would hurry up to my sewing room, where sewing eased the lonely hours and gave me a sense of accomplishment. And I had said a few of my quilts. I had sold them to friends and given many, especially baby quilts, as gifts. So I guess that made it seem okay to me to keep buying every piece of fabric that caught my eye. I saw the motel ahead, and I moved along even faster. Harry was going to find a very different wife walking back into our room that evening, one who doesn't ramble on and on about material things, who lives for today and doesn't need to escape to a dream world to ease the loneliness, who communicates more plainly what was going on in her head. When I opened the door to our room and stepped inside, though, I was surprised to find it in total darkness. The curbside light showed me that the bed was made just the way I had left it. The bedspread wasn't rumpled or pulled back, so I knew that Harry hadn't stretched out to take a nap when he got back. The silence that met me was deafening. Where was Harry? He had chosen not to follow me earlier. He hadn't wanted to spend that time with me. Translation, he hadn't wanted to watch me spend more money on fabric. And how could I blame him? Tears gathering in my eyes, I moved into the dark room. I had felt lost and alone and empty when the kids had moved away from home, but that had been nothing compared to what I was feeling at that moment. I felt swallowed up by loneliness, a sob gathering in my throat. I reached back to close the door. Did you find him? I jumped, a small scream rising up in my throat. A light came on, and I saw Harry sitting by the window. My heavens, Harry, he scared me half to death. Why are you sitting here in the dark? Why are you? I paused as his words finally registered. What did you just ask me? I saw his chest rise and fall in a deep sigh. His face looked pale and sad as his eyes met mine. When I came back here earlier, I called Tiffany. He said I needed to touch base. I wanted to talk to the twins, and they wanted to know what an old flame was and if you had found yours. I groaned, remembering my earlier conversation with our daughter. The boys had obviously heard their mom's end of it. There was a huge part of me that wanted to burst into laughter, yet I wondered how Harry could think for even one moment that I might be out looking for an old boyfriend. A mixture of sadness and anger touched my heart. So I've been sitting here with a small war going on inside my head. He was going on. I didn't want to think you might be out looking up some old beau, but I couldn't stop thinking about how unhappy you've been lately. Pulling in a deep breath, shaking my head, I slid my feet out of my sandals. Moving to the other side of the room, I sank down on the edge of the bed and reached for Harry's hand. I haven't been unhappy, Harry. Well, I have been, but not for the reason you think. My eyes filled with the tears. It was long past time to explain to him exactly what I had been thinking and feeling, what had been going on in my heart and mind for so many, many months. I began by telling him about the overwhelming sense of loss that I had felt when both of our children were grown up and gone from the house. I told him how I was feeling empty, unneeded, and at such loose ends. I tried to explain to him how my sewing filled the hours of loneliness, how it made me feel happy, fulfilled, and good about myself. But I realized that I've gone overboard buying fabric. I know I've spent too much when money is so tight. Honey, you're working part-time, he said. I can hardly tell you how to spend your money. But it's our money. And I haven't been using good common sense. And about all the talking I do about things I want to do around the house, I went on. That's just my dreams for someday. I thought you understood that. It's fun for me to dream and plan and imagine how things might someday be. I never meant for you to think that I needed those things now. Maybe women just think differently than men, but half the fun of it for me is the dreaming and the fantasizing. I'm so sorry that you misunderstood. Misunderstood, he said, and I heard the anger in his voice. How was I supposed to think anything else? All you talk about anymore is how you're going to redo this room and knock down that wall and tear something else apart. You cut pictures out of magazines of rooms that have been professionally decorated, and you tell me that that's the way you want our house to look. It's like you're obsessed. And I find bags of fabric on the kitchen table with sales slips I'm sure I don't want to look at. I dread coming home anymore because I can't stand listening to you go on and on about all the things you want and don't have. I know, I'm sorry. The silence that settled around us was heavy. It was broken only by the sound of my sobbing. Then I heard Harry sigh heavily. I felt his fingers brushing at my tears. I'm sorry, too, he said, his voice quieter and softer. I should have realized that there was something wrong in your life for you to be acting that way. You're just not the type of person to be making demands when times are hard. And maybe you tried to tell me how you were feeling after both kids left home, and I was too preoccupied with worrying about work to hear what you were saying. Hearing the tension in his voice, I looked up. Things haven't been looking good for a while, and they're getting steadily worse. He drew in a deep breath and let it out. The remodeling jobs that have been coming our way are dwindling down to nothing. People are just afraid to spend their money on things that aren't absolutely essential. We have one more job lined up, and if something doesn't turn up after that, he lifted his shoulders in a shrug, we could be joining the ranks of the unemployed. I stared at him, stunned. I had no idea that things were getting that shaky. You didn't tell me, or maybe he had, and like him, I was too preoccupied with my own problems to hear him. The boss is thinking seriously about moving the company out of state, Harry was saying. He's given all of us the opportunity to go along. Some of the guys have already agreed to go. If that's what he finally decides to do, his eyes met mine. I know how much you love our house and being close to the grandkids, but he broke off with another heavy sigh. I could only shake my head as I listened to him. It seemed incredible to me that so much had been going on inside my husband's head, and I'd had so little knowledge of it. While he'd been worrying about being unemployed, I had been rambling on and on about buying every piece of fabric that caught my eye. While he had been worrying about the possibility of having to move us out of state, I had been going on about all the big, expensive changes I wanted to make in the house. I knew I talked about our old house as the only house I could ever live in. How incredibly insensitive I've been, I said. Harry, it's only a house. Yes, I love it, but it isn't the only house in the country that we could be happy in. You and I make it a home, and we can do that anywhere. Was that my new path in life? I wondered, a new start somewhere else, something completely new for us to do? Would it be such a bad thing? Harry, I'm so sorry. I've been so foolish, I said, reaching for his hand. If this is what you think we need to do, then let's do it. I wrapped my fingers around his, realizing how the joy and strength of our marriage had gotten lost in fears and anxieties and disappointments that, without honest and open communication, had grown into anger and huge misunderstandings. Harry squeezed my hand. I know you've been feeling lost and with the kids gone, less needed, but it isn't true. They still need you, just in different ways. They love you, honey. Tiffany needs your support and advice with the twins, and Tony needs to know you're always there to do his laundry when he comes home on break, he teased. Shaking my head, I gave him a playful swat on the arm. Ha ha. Seriously, he still needs your guidance, too. Although he might not like to admit it, he needs to know his mom is there, cheering him on. Being on their own doesn't make you any less important in their lives. You're their mom. Swiping at my tears, I smiled at him. Thank you for saying that. It's just not so easy to let go. I know. Drawing me closer, he kissed my hand. Why haven't we sat down and talked like this before? When I think of all we've wasted just to get to this point where we can talk. Shaking his head, he closed his eyes. I swallowed hard as guilt washed over me. I'm sorry, I know we spent money that we shouldn't have to come here, I said. I shouldn't have talked you into it. I stood and walked to the window. I guess we should pack our things and go home in the morning. Maybe the manager will give us a refund for tomorrow night. I heard him chuckling softly as he moved to stand beside me. Oh, I think we'll stay until Monday morning, as planned. You had the right idea. It was a good thing for us to get away. I think the threat of losing each other could be termed an emergency, don't you? He slid his arms around me. I wasn't talking about money, but about the time we've wasted being a couple of idiots. We'll work it all out, honey, I promise. Oh, Harry, I whispered, my lips trembling in a smile. Let's not do this again. Let's not ever stop talking to each other. Agreed. He pulled me closer and kissed me. When at last he lifted his lips from mine, his eyes still held me tight. I've missed you. My eyes filled with fresh tears. I've missed you too. I love you so much. I love you too. We stood there for a long moment just looking at each other. Then a smile began to take over his face. Did you stop along the way to get something to eat? He asked, and when I shook my head, he said, me either. Could I take my beautiful wife to supper? My smile met his. I thought you'd never ask, big fella. I'm suddenly very, very hungry. Okay, let's go. Unless, he added, you'd rather look up that old flame. Very funny, I tossed back. One man in my life is quite enough for me. Thank you very much. Chuckling, he stopped to kiss my cheek. Glad to hear it. Harry grabbed our jackets as the evening had gotten cooler, and we made our way downtown to the restaurant that he had suggested earlier. The food was fabulous, and the conversation was even better. We talked open and honestly, with barely a moment of silence between us, and with every word I could feel the two of us drawing closer. I could feel that old spark of deep love and respect returning. We talked of many things, our family, the house, and the work situation. I told Harry about being offered a job in the quilt shop in town. We discussed moving out of state with the construction company that Harry had worked with for so many years, but we decided against it. Being so far away from the kids and grandkids wasn't something that we wanted to do. Instead, we opted for a new adventure. With all the homes in foreclosure in our state, in our town, we decided to get into the business of flipping them. We buy up mostly older homes, fix them up, and since there's no market right now for reselling them, we rent them out. Being a carpenter, Harry knows exactly how to do the needed work. He's teaching me how to wield a hammer and power tools, and I help where I can and love every minute of it. And while I didn't take the job at Laura's Quilt Shop, when a part-time position became available in our quilt shop here in town, I was the first in line to apply for it. I was hired, and I love every minute of that, too. Our lives are so much happier now. We work together, we work hard, and we find time to share the things we enjoy. Recently, a neighbor asked if I would be interested in joining her in doing some volunteer work at our local nursing home, visiting people who are lonely and have few visitors. Being lonely is certainly something that I can understand, and I quickly agreed. Sometimes Harry comes along with us too. We love to see the residents' faces light up when we walk in and sit down to talk with them. I hope we're a blessing to them. They are certainly a blessing to us. I still quilt. It's still a passion, but I no longer allow myself to walk out of the quilt shop with every piece of fabric that has caught my attention. I'm learning to use self-control and common sense. And I still think about the changes we might make in our home. But Harry and I keep so busy fixing up homes that other people can love and enjoy, that I no longer have the time for those thoughts to consume me. I hope I never give Harry any reason to think that I'm not completely satisfied with our life together, because I'm so happy. Life is so good. Okay, that's the end of that story. If you tuned in late, this is the Romance Program with Volunteer Jeannie Oast for Sun Sounds. I have a little bit of time left, so I'm going to read the feature from True Confessions magazine. It's called My Man, and this one was written by Phyllis Cording of Indianapolis. Here's the little mini story. Going through two bad marriages and raising four children alone, I promised myself I would never get involved in another relationship. One day my car broke down, so I called my boss and asked if he would send someone to pick me up, and that's when it happened. He sent Bobby to pick me up. Bobby was handsome, very nice, and easy to talk to. For the first week, he picked me up and took me home in a company vehicle. One Friday, when he took me home, he asked if he could pick me up the following Monday in his personal vehicle. I told him that would be fine. There was something special about him, and it was as if a magnet was pulling us to one another. After 4 weeks, he proposed by telling me that he had fallen in love with me and he wanted to take care of my four kids, the goldfish and me. I didn't even have to think about it. A week later, we were married. That was 19 years ago. He helped me raise my children, and they all love him as much as I do. They even call him Dad. Our first granddaughter was born, and our daughter called my husband and said, "Dad, I've decided to name my daughter after you." Needless to say, our little Bobby is his pride and joy. We are still very deeply in love. He is my best friend, my lover, a father to my children, grandfather to my grandchildren, and I honestly believe that God sent him to take care of my children and me, because he's definitely been a blessing. Happy anniversary. Okay, that is the end of this edition of the Romance Program. Thank you so much for listening. I've enjoyed reading to you. This has been Volunteer Jeannie Oast for Sun Sounds. Take care. Have a great week. Bye-bye.